up, soccer fans? Mike Guglielmi, Sons of a Pitch, Soccer Podcast. How y'all doing tonight? It is time. We got lots to talk about. Episode number 210 on this episode of Sons of a Pitch, an American Soccer Podcast. We're going to discuss all of the week's action of MLS play. Yes, they actually played during the FIFA World Cup qualifying window. Dumb, I know. As well, we'll talk about the World Cup qualifiers themselves. Match day one and two recaps, plus we will discuss match day number three coming up and what's in store for us in those four matches here in CONCACAF, and what a start it has been. Not the best start for the United States men's national team, that is for sure. All right, so episode number 210, my God, I can't believe that we're actually this many episodes in. Seems like yesterday when we first started this idea up, and here it is. So we've got Brother BKL in the house, Inter Miami CF Club, a new Wiseman, and more hanging out with us. Thanks for jumping on, guys, and a big milestone for the podcast / Sons of a Pitch Soccer Central this week. We just hit 1,000 followers on Twitter. We have been aiming for 1,000 followers on Twitter for a very long time, so thank you to every single person who has followed us at SOP Soccer on Twitter. Much, much appreciated. So I just wanted to say thank you to everyone for that. And if you haven't followed yet, make sure you do. Hit that follow button on Sons of a Pitch Soccer on Twitter and get on it. It's time. All right, another thing to discuss, we will be transitioning this podcast episode as well on ColorCast, the app for, it's only on iPhone right now, but ColorCast 2.0 is dropping probably in the next few weeks, and you'll be able to listen to our regularly scheduled podcast via ColorCast as well. Jay Jardim in the house. What's up, Jay? And there you go. That's how I started with you guys. Good old Twitter. Yep, that is it, Jay. That is it. That is absolutely awesome. So there you go. And there, I was the 1,000 follower on Twitter, says Inter Miami CF Club. Nice. That's awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, let's get right into the games here on MLS. I'm mind-boggled that MLS even played games, to be honest with you. On Friday, September 3rd and Saturday, September 4th, when there's a World Cup qualifying window going on. I understand they have the shortened season. I understand they've got to pack these games in. But this is ridiculous. This league wants to become a serious, serious top contender in world football. They're going to have to figure this out. They can't do this anymore. So let's share the screen now, and we will talk about all this stuff. And a new Wiseman agreed. It's mind-boggling to me. I don't understand why they're doing this if they want to be a top team in the league. Now, the first game to discuss, Nashville SC against New York City from Nashville. And this one, a big, big victory for Nashville SC, 3-1 over New York City. New York City's been one of the hottest teams in the league. And this was a 3-0 game until Tati Castellanos got a goal right before stoppage time began in the 90th minute. Hani Mukhtar with two goals, Latinovic with an own goal, a couple of red cards in this one to Dax McCarty and Maxi Morales. But Nashville, what a performance from Nashville at home, where they are expected to win, but against the New York City team who's going to be fighting with them at the top of the Eastern Conference come playoff time. Which, again, playoffs are coming up fairly soon here. As you can see, the stats on the screen, you got possession was dominated by NYCFC, 57% to 43%. Total shots, 24 to 13. But shots on goal were even. The passing, it was New York City had control of this game, but couldn't find the back of the net. This is exactly what you think of when you think of Nashville SC. This team just smash and grab, take points, and they it might not be pretty, but this team is successful. I mean, look at this team that they put out. I mean, the talent level isn't that much, so you got to credit Gary Smith with the amazing job that he does as coach. Willis in goal, decent goalkeeper. Miller, Mayer, and Romney at the back. Lovitz, McCarty, Mukhtar, Anunga, and Washington in the midfield with CJ Sapong and Rios up top. That doesn't scream to me a great MLS team. It'll be interesting to see what they do come playoff time. if this team will be able to do much come playoff time. I don't know. I mean, you look at the talent levels, of course, they are missing some players in World Cup qualifying. They really are. You know, that Randall Leal, there's a couple other pieces that they were missing. Alistair Johnston at the back with Canada, a couple pieces. But still, this team fights and they grind it out and they win and they do well. Isaiah Paskins in the house. What's up, Isaiah? First day of training went good at Chipotle. Love to hear it, man. Good stuff. Good stuff. And, yeah, so there you go. New York City, on the other hand, they had a full core of guys. Castellanos up top. The three attacking mids of Santi Rodriguez, Maxi Morales, Jesus Medina, Keaton Parks, Acevedo. They were missing their center backs, though. Callens and Chanot were called up. Amundsen and Tinnerholm at the back with Sean Johnson, who just recently got a call up there. So to the United States men's national team after after Zach Steffen got COVID. So we'll talk about that later on in the show when we're talking about the World Cup qualifiers. But New York City, it's a loss. It's a loss on the road. New York City on a cold spell happens every year. So Isaiah, I wouldn't call it a cold spell, man. They were hot right before this. So we'll see how they come back in their next matchups. All right, next game up, we've got Philadelphia and the New England Revolution. The Revs just keep on rolling. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your Supporters Shield champions, the New England Revolution. I'm calling it now on September 6th. I know there's still 10 games left in the season for New England, 12 for some other teams. New England is going to win the Supporters Shield. This team is miles ahead in that race, and they continue to win games. They continue to win games they're not supposed to win, like this on the road. Big underdogs in this one, but they still found a way to get it done. New England, no Carlos Hill, no Adam Buxa up top, and they still get it done, giving away 60% possession to 40. Total shots 18-8 for Philly. Shots on goal 8-3, but you know what? It doesn't matter because the number one is the scoreboard, and they got that goal and picked up that win. And that's the only stat that matters. The Revs, a team to look out for. Can they put it all together in the playoffs as well? I forgot to mention Tejan Buchanan out as well for Canada. And I think there was even a couple more players that were out in this one. So, all right, there you go. That's New England in a nutshell. Here's Houston and Portland. The Portland Timbers continue their high roll and get the victory 2-0 over Houston. There, Shavendra says, let's go New England. Yes, good team to be rooting for. That's for sure, Shavendra, excuse me. Portland, two goals. Jimmy Chara and Felipe Mora from the spot gives them a 2-0 victory over Houston. Houston is struggling right now. Really, really struggling right now. They have not won in, I believe it was like 3 or 4 months. They have not won a game. It was there was a tweet that I saw. Daryl DK was still playing at Barnsley when they had last won a game. So Portland, they're kind of kicking along here now after that big victory against Seattle. They're picking things back up on their end, and they get that 2-0 victory there in Houston at BBVA Compass Stadium. Now, a crazy, crazy game. LAFC and Sporting Kansas City. You see the scoreline, 4-0 LAFC. Like, is that correct? Is everything okay there? Because, my God, I did not think this was going to be the case. We actually had a parlay bet going. One got a comment, and it was like, yeah, here's the call of the night. I'm like, oh, you know what? Let's throw some money on it just for fun, right? Just for fun. And what do you know? The first two came through, New England as well as Portland. And then, like, oh, yeah, Sporting Kansas City going into that last game. SKC's lineup. Look at this lineup, guys. Unbelievable lineup discrepancy between these two squads. And I thought once these lineups came out, I thought we were golden for SKC to get the W here. You've got LAFC with Romero in goal, Ibiaga, Mario, and Mbake, or Fall, there at the back. Blessing, Janela, Atuesta, Raheem Edwards, and Duke, Jennings, and Arango. This is not the lineup you expect to see from LAFC. Now for Sporting Kansas City, Kyrie Shelton, Alan Pulido, Johnny Russell, Walter Mowry, and Espinoza. Martins, Fontas, Sanchez, and Zusi with Melia in goal. You're expecting a Sporting Kansas City win, and that was not the case. Man, Sporting Kansas City got smacked down 4-0 by LAFC. This one was done early in the second half. Fall with two goals, great headers. Why they left that man unmarked when he was flying in the way he was, I'll never know. Have to ask Peter Vermees on that one. But Arango and then Atuesta as well. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable game by LAFC. Are they back? Are they back? That's all I can think of. And I don't think they are. I think this was kind of this was more of a lucky run by LAFC. They caught SKC sleeping. SKC thought they were going to walk in the park and win this. That's my guess. Now, Daniel Young, how you doing, Daniel? Good to see you, man. Says, NYC needs center back death. Letting go of Ibiaga was terrible business. I completely agree. I like Ibiaga. I think he's a good piece, especially as that depth piece. And he proved well, played a very good game, got a yellow card for LAFC. But when he does get minutes for LAFC, he looks good doing so. So, yes, bad business by New York City on that one. All right, then Shavendra says, what MLS games are you doing next weekend? So I'm going to give you a breakdown here of some of the stuff that's coming up. So we've got two World Cup qualifiers coming up on Wednesday. First up, Canada against El Salvador. This one from BMO Field. It's going to be fun. Jay Jardine will be in the house once again, and can't wait to do this one. A huge game for Canada. Then the second game up, we're going to have Honduras against USA, a huge, huge game for the United States men's national team. So we'll see how that goes. Now, as far as MLS games, this weekend I will be live from TQL Stadium, Cincinnati and Toronto. I'll be at that game in Cincinnati, so we'll be doing some type of live video from that one. But I will not be doing a live stream reaction for any of the games, MLS games this weekend, because I will be in Cincinnati heading over there Friday afternoon and going to the game Saturday night. So expect a short live stream from the stadium, and we'll see. Maybe I can just get the game streaming there. I don't know. We'll see. We'll stream a little bit of the game maybe from there. Now, so no MLS games this weekend, but you know what? It's all good. We're going to put out a nice video from that trip as well. And Allison's on, and then Isaiah, Greg out. Slow down, Isaiah. Slow down. Slow down, man. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. I'm not on the Greg out train yet. Not yet, but I'm close, because I don't see it as being all his fault. But some of the moves they just made, not so much. Not very happy about that. But all right, Brother BKL says, exactly, Mike. Besides, LAFC got good position. I don't know between condition of Vela. There's no way they make it to the top without Vela. I agree. No Diego Rossi. Diego Rossi is now gone. He has been shipped overseas to Turkey, and he's on a loan, but he's done. His LAFC days are over, and we'll see how that goes for LAFC with no Diego Rossi there. All right, next game up, Vancouver Whitecaps and Austin FC. Vancouver with a comeback, 2-1 victory from BC Place in Vancouver. Godoy and Caicedo, the goals in the 70th and 83rd minute. Druisi with the goal for Austin. He has been holding down the floor for those guys there on their games, because he's the only one scoring. And yes, we've been talking about, you know, we need Austin needs a striker. They got one, and he has definitely been scoring some goals. So Vancouver, good victory for them. Can they keep this roll going? It's going to be interesting to see. Next game up, Orlando City against Columbus. My God, Columbus just continues to struggle. What is going on with this team? Columbus Crew, this team was projected to be MLS Cup favorites out of the Eastern Conference to repeat possibly after that performance last season. And man, this team is just, my God, not pulling it their weight at all right now. H. Huss in the house. What's up, H. Huss? It's been a while, man. Do you think Brian Schmetzer will ever take the USMNT job? I don't see why he would ever leave Seattle, to be honest with you. But if he was to leave Seattle, I could see that as probably the only possibility. But then again, I don't know. Maybe he would want to go overseas, prove himself over there. I don't know. But we'll see. Schmetzer in good hands in Seattle, that's for sure. Hani Mukhtar is on as well. Nashville SC, I love it. Connor McCabe in the house as well. All right. And I was at the USA game yesterday, and it sucked. Hani, we will be talking about that game later on in the show after we finish up the MLS contingent of the podcast episode. All right, Inter Miami CF Club. Go to my GoFundMe, please. I'm going to sleep. Anything helps. Go check it out. Link is in the description, guys. If you can help out our friend, a loyal viewer and listener here, Sons of a Pitch, anything helps. Much appreciated, guys. And have a good one, Inter Miami. And we'll talk to you. We'll talk to you soon. All right. So Orlando gets goals from Daryl Dike, Vanderwater, and none other than Almeida Jr. and Nani. Columbus's goals, an own goal by Antonio Carlos, poor header back, and Miguel Berry as well with the goals. And there you go. Look at that. Crew are very overrated. They are. That is quite clear that they are very overrated. This team, man, they're not having a good season. And I thought they had a lot of good talent that they would be able to compete. But they are proving me and a lot of other people wrong. So Orlando gets the win. Cincinnati and Inter Miami. Oh, man. Miami with a late winner at TQL Stadium. Cincinnati struggles continue. I just don't get it. I don't get it. Mason Weber in the house. What's up, man? How you doing? And yes, Inter Miami, we'll see you on Wednesday. And man, Miami gets the victory. This poor team, they can't get anything going. They really can't. I mean, Cincinnati, they get this brand new stadium. You think that maybe they've turned the page. It's time for them to do, you know, some crazy things and win some games. Not going to happen. Miami at the death. And yes, a new Wiseman, Breck Shea. Breck Shea, man, you got to be kidding me. Breck Shea scores in the 90th minute, left-footed shot. Crazy, 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 crazy. And there, Miami is gay with something. I don't even know. But yes, Miami threw Breck Shea in the 90th minute, steals 3 points from Cincinnati, and that really sets up the wooden spoon matchup for the game on Saturday between TFC and Cincinnati, which I will be at. So H. Huss, there you go. Cincy Stadium is nice. I have to admit, yes, I can't wait to see it in person. I'm really excited to go there. Going to be in the Bailey. Got the tickets in the supporter section. So we'll be doing a live stream from there Saturday night during that game. So make sure you guys keep your notifications on. Get subscribed if you're not. Hit that subscribe button and make sure that bell is on so you don't miss me going live for that one as well. We also hit that like button, guys. We got 11 likes on the stream. We got 15 watching. That means 4 of you haven't hit the like button. Please hit that like button so that we can get this going. Hey, Justice, I hope the Wi-Fi is good in the stadium, LOL. Well, if the Wi-Fi is not good, my cell signal should be good enough, I would think. My 4G LTE. I'm not cool yet. I'm not down with the 5G yet. I don't have that cool technology. I've just got the old 4G. But, hey. I think that should be good to get the upload going. I hope. But we'll see. All right. So Miami with the victory there. RSL and Dallas, a 3-2 win for Real Salt Lake at Rio Tinto Stadium. Glad Menendez and Ruznak with the goals. Frank O'Hara and Ferreira with the goals from Dallas. This was a surprise. This was definitely a surprise here, guys. I was expecting a Dallas win, albeit on the road, but did not happen. Did not happen. A good victory for RSL, kind of picking up the pieces to this team and the struggles that they've been going through. So hopefully RSL will be able to right the ship a little bit and try and contend for a playoff spot, but I don't think I see it. And there you go. And their brother BKL says, without Pepe. Yes, they were without Pepe, and that hurts. And you would think that Berhalter might play Pepe since his form is absolutely insane, but he hasn't. So we'll talk about that again towards the end of the show when we go through the World Cup qualifiers, which we've got a lot to talk about in those World Cup qualifiers as well. All right, San Jose against Colorado, the last MLS game we're going to discuss. Hani says the Nashville NYC had a fight was there. Nice. I saw there was a double red card there around halftime, so maybe that's why. San Jose and Colorado. Colorado through Dominic Baggi in the 89th minute gets the goal to give Colorado a win. This team continues to climb up the Western Conference standings. My God, Colorado, another team who's just putting stuff together left and right to fight and trying to keep pace with Seattle, Sporting Kansas City, and others. All right. Looking at these lineups here, look at this lineup. Does this look like a lineup of a team that should be contending for top spot in the Western Conference? Yarbrough in goal, good goalkeeper. Rosenberry, Abubakar, and Wilson at the back. Estevez, Warner, Price, and Galvan in the midfield. Shinyashiki, Bassett, and Barrios. Excuse me? What? This team is one of the best teams in the Western Conference? No way. No way. Like, I mean, this is insane. I mean, you look at this roster, and it does not look like a team that should be at the top of the Western Conference. DPs? No real big-name DPs. I mean, they've got Galvan as a young designated player. I think Price is still a DP. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he still is. But, I mean, my God, this team on paper – but their coach, Robin Fraser, a very good coach. I mean, there's a reason why TFC was as good as it was for as long as it was, being led by Greg Vanney, assisted by Robin Fraser. You've seen what Greg Vanney has done with the LA Galaxy as of late. You see what Robin Fraser is doing with Colorado. And there you go, Isaiah. Colorado even won without Acosta and Kay, who are pretty important to us. They're very important to that team, and they still win on the road. As well. I mean, that's impressive. Yes, it's San Jose. They're not that good. Oh, that's right. Yunus Namley is a DP. That's right. He wasn't in the lineup there either. I don't know. I mean, this team continues to surprise me. I keep picking them in my picks and predictions because they're winning me some money. But, I mean, my God. All right, Isaiah said, I don't think Price is a DP. Okay, cool. H-Hoss, did anyone see Kanye West at the Atlanta game the other week? I saw him with, you know, walking there with some crazy thing on his head or something like that. Who knows? Crazy, crazy guy. Anyways, so there you have it. There's the recap of the MLS games. Let's take a look at the standings before we take our quick sponsor break. Eastern Conference, like I said, New England, 52 points out of 24 games played. This team is hands down winning the Supporters Shield this season. Unless there is just some massive, massive issues like injury issues or something was to happen. This team is unbelievably good. Right behind them, Orlando, as well as Nashville at 38 points. So Orlando, even though they haven't been in the best form lately, this team's still right there in second place in the Eastern Conference. Nashville at 38, same type of deal as Orlando. They just tough out results. I think that's what's got these teams where they are in the standings is because they just bust out results. New York City right behind them at 34 points, Philadelphia with 32, Montreal at 31, and DC United at 30 points. Columbus, Atlanta, Miami, Chicago, Red Bulls, Cincinnati, and Toronto round out the non-playoff teams in the Eastern Conference. The only teams that I really see having a chance at making the playoffs is probably Atlanta if they can keep things turn things around and keep going on that far end. Maybe even Columbus if they were to play up to their potential, but I just don't see it happening. They haven't been able to do it so far. I don't expect to see them do it now. Inter Miami, this team is not good enough to be a playoff team. If they are, they squeak in on one of the last days and get knocked out in the first round. Chicago, not happening. Red Bulls, not happening. And then you've got the bottom there, Cincinnati and Toronto, 17 and 15 points. It's all up to this Saturday. If Cincinnati beats Toronto this Saturday at home, which they should, then Toronto will win the wooden spoon, no doubt about it. Fire 2020 shorts in the house. Sup, I'm late. Very nice. A new Wiseman Orlando this Friday is a must-win for us. That's what I was thinking, and that's why I picked Atlanta to win against Orlando in the bends in my picks and predictions video that'll be coming out tomorrow. So, guys, make sure you guys check that one out. We've got week 20 MLS picks and predictions coming at you tomorrow at some point, probably around noon, maybe 3 o'clock, something like that. I got it uploaded and ready to go. Also, Match Day 3, betting, picks, and predictions is out now. Go check it out if you haven't watched it already. Hit that like button. Let's get that thing further up for people to see in the algorithm, guys. I need your help. If you guys are watching, I need your help by hitting that like button as well. Clicking the ads before the videos really, really helps, guys. That is a huge, huge help for the channel and monetization and keeping that ad revenue higher, because every single click that comes on those ads before a video and letting them run through and then click the second one, that ups the CPM. So then when I do a live and get 1,000 views or 2,000 or 5,000 views, then that ad revenue is higher because my clicks are worth more because they happen more often. So you guys are awesome. The amount of support you guys show me is nothing but top notch. But if you can, click those ads and hit that like button for me as well. All right. Western Conference, Seattle at 42 points, Colorado at 41, Sporting Kansas City at 40. Those are your top three teams in the West. Sporting Kansas City, I expect them to fall off. And you could see with the points per game, they're not quite on the same level as Colorado and Seattle. LA Galaxy, they may surprise some people when Chicha comes back. We'll see. Minnesota at 31 points, Portland at 30, RSL at 30, Vancouver at 29, LAFC 27, San Jose 26, Dallas 25, ATX and Houston with 19. The only teams I see threatening in the Western Conference is possible Vancouver. Honestly, I don't think LAFC is going to make it, especially with no Diego Rossi now. And then San Jose, I don't have faith in them either. Maybe Dallas with Pepe. And there was a great comment, speaking of Ricardo Pepe here, where did it go? Oh, man. Somebody had said earlier in the show, there you go. H. Huss says, bold statement, Pepe will be the most expensive player from MLS once a European side comes to buy, even more than Alphonso Davies. I completely agree with that statement, H. Huss. No doubt, because especially the way transfer values go, when you're talking a striker compared to a wingback, he's going to go for more. And Pepe, I mean, we've been on the train for 2 years here. You guys know this. It's on record in that old video, the 2020 season preview, in the beginning of the days of Sons of a Pitch Soccer on YouTube, where we said, watch out for Ricardo Pepe. He's coming. He's an awesome player, and he has proven to be that. Totally has proven to be that. Also, where is the other one that I wanted to touch on here? Oh, there. How far is Cincy away from where you are now, by the way? So it's about 5.5, 6-hour drive. So be a nice little afternoon drive down there on Friday. Hopefully get there before it's too late. Go party it up a little bit, since I haven't done that in years. And it should be a fun weekend. Also then Jay says, let us win something this year. Amen, Jay. I'll take the wooden spoon, man. We need something. All right. With that being said, we're going to take a short break here on YouTube for our podcast sponsorship break. And we will be right back after that break. And John Donovan giving us a Chicago Fire update as well. While we're on that break, here is the lives for this weekend. Make sure to book your calendar for Wednesday night, as we'll be going live for Canada, El Salvador, and Honduras, USA. This episode of Sons of a Pitch, an American soccer podcast, brought to you by Nice Premium Iceland Pure Spring Water. Also by Donovan Food Brokerage, a sales and marketing firm focused on food service sales in the Midwest. And lastly, by Skira, Icelandic spring water available at your local 7-Eleven. And now it's time for our weekly Chicago Fire update, brought to you by John Donovan. Take it away, John.
Mike, John Donovan here, talking about the Chicago Fire and the MLS. Mike, no game this week. Nothing good, nothing bad to report. No boring game. We're going to move ahead. We've only got, I think, 11 more games on the season. Mike, I just wanted to get in a little bit about what happened this past year, what I see for the future for the Fire, and what I hope for the future for the Fire. You know, Mike, last year was a rough year. One thing we had good was Berrick was scoring. I think he had 12 goals. The combo of him and Jordy Mihaljevic was super. They both fed each other well. Jordy would kind of move back underneath Berrick, and it really was a nice matchup. This year, there's no such player as a center mid on the Fire. They've experimented with Alceda, who did a good job, but Wicky moves him right back to left wing, where he's never played. I know Joe Mansueto has done a lot of big things for the Fire, bringing him back to Soldier Field, where nobody's attending. He's got new uniforms, new codes, new emblems. He brought in a guy in George Heights and Raphael Wicky, who literally do not fit in the MLS. They've made some really bad moves. Last year, letting Jordy go for nothing to Montreal, that is playing really well with him in the middle, and losing CJ Sapong was really a bad move. I mean, I know CJ had a issue last year with a daughter or a new baby, and Jordy just never fit in with Wiki. I mean, if you're kind of US, you have a tough time on this squad. Pineda has been very fortunate. But Mike, next year, I hope they clean house on this management and bring in a quad. I mean, look at Denver. They brought in Frazier, and he's done spectacular. Arena, Seattle, all the great teams have U.S. coaches, which I really enjoy. I am kind of rooting for the D.C. guy from Argentina. He seems to have hung in there and has learned the league. Next year, I certainly hope they bring in a new coach, a U.S. guy, a new general manager, and please, God, get Frank Klopas off the bench. I mean, he had three games this year when Wicky was over in Europe and obviously lost all three. That was kind of a given. So we come back next year with hopefully a new center forward. I hope they enter the U.S. draft from the college players. Every year there's a couple of guys that are coming out that are performing well for the teams. And the Fire, although they've been way up on the picks, have traded their picks away. Gosh, for the past 7 or 8 years, we haven't had a decent pick. And we could have had DK, we could have had a lot of tremendous players. But no, the Fire and their management had decided to trade him away for another international spot, which they've blown. So hopefully Mansueto gets it down for next year. Get rid of Wicky, get rid of Heights, get rid of Klopas. You've spent a load of money on this team, and you bought yourself a place over in Europe. So if you need to stay with Heights and Wicky, send them over to Europe. But bring Chicago somebody new, inventive, US. That's what we're looking for, Mike. I know Chicago would support this team if he would get his if they'd have just a couple of wins going, Mike. There's no exciting on at Soldier Field right now. I watch every game, and it sometimes it's long. I really on another subject, I hope the US uses Pepe for their center forward. They desperately need scoring, and he can't do it from the bench. Take care, Mike. Have a good day.
Thanks for that Chicago Fire update, John. We'll talk to you next week. All right, back from break. Let's talk about the World Cup qualifiers, shall we? Match day one, match day two in the books. Let's talk about those games while we've got a few minutes here. Going back to match day number one, the first game of the octagonal, the Ocho, whatever it is that you want to call it. This is going to be, this was actually a really good game. Honduras getting the better of Canada, though. The 1-1 draw, Kyle Larin, 66th minute, Alexander Lopez in the 40th minute. A 1-1 draw, Honduras does what they need to do on the road. That's what it's all about, guys, is you got to get a point on the road and you got to win your home games. That is the recipe for success here in the World Cup qualifiers. And looking at the stats here, you've got 15 shots apiece. This game was very, very even. Honestly, I think Canada overlooked Honduras. Being that the game was at home, there was so much hype about this game. I think Canada kind of overlooked them. And that's my take on it. Disappointing result for Canada. And there, Canada very disjointed this game, says Jay. And Jay would know as he was at the game. And Jay sent over a video from BMO we're going to use in the background during that Canada-El Salvador live. So thank you, Jay, for that video. And can't wait for that game against El Salvador. And I'm very jealous that you'll be there, sir, because that is awesome. And I wish I could be there myself. Canada 1, Honduras 1 in this one. Another game in match day 1. Mexico beats Jamaica 2-1. Vega in the 50th minute. Shamar Nicholson with the tying goal for Jamaica in the 65th. And then Henry Martin with the winner in the 89th minute. Mexico gets out of Azteca alive with the victory over a very poor performing Jamaica side, which again, Jamaica was hurt big time by the EPL rule. Not having Leon Bailey from Aston Villa, that really hurts Jamaica and some of the other players. Jamaica did not, they basically had their B side going to the Azteca to play Mexico and gave them a hell of a fight. Now, we'll talk about Jamaica's next game in a minute. That was not pretty at all. Looking at the shots, look at this shot. 39-11 for Mexico. It was all Mexico in this one. Total ball possession, 69-31. Corner kick, 7-3. This was all Mexico, and it showed. I mean, when we did the live stream reaction for this one, it seemed like this was going to be a complete blowout, and Jamaica just kept hanging on and staying in there. So that was impressive from them. Next game up, El Salvador and the United States, a 0-0 draw at the Estadio Cuscatlan there in El Salvador. And the U.S. can't seem to find the back of the net in this one. Their offense has kind of dried up. They're still missing that striker. They need a striker up top, and it shows. Josh Sargent did not look good in this game at all. And our brother BKL says, Jamaica now wooden spoon, and there's no players for pieces to help the reggae boys for qualified. I agree. Not in this window, but maybe in the next window, brother BKL. So here's the lineup for the U.S. Matt Turner, DeAndre Yedlin, Miles Robinson, Tim Ream, Serginho Dest, Weston McKennie, Tyler Adams, Aronson, Reyna, Sargent, and Conrad. Now, obviously, some subs came in, but this game, the United States needed to do better. Total shots 13-7 in this one. Not good enough on the road. I understand that it was a very tough atmosphere playing inside that packed stadium. I get it. But this is the United States men's national team with players from Barcelona, with players from Juventus, from players, you know, from teams in the Premier League. Like, guys, these guys need to step up. They need to start. This should be an easy result on the road in El Salvador, but it's not, because it's CONCACAF, and that's different, right? I mean, it is different. It's a different beast, right? It's not the same as in Europe. When you go on the road in CONCACAF, it's hard, and you have to have that toughness, that grit, and really go after it. And I think the wins over the summer has really hurt this United States men's national team, and they better snap out of it quickly. I still stand by my words that this team is the best team in CONCACAF. I believe they're better than Mexico. They're going to win 9 out of 10 games against Mexico, but they need to show the toughness, the grit, and stand up. We all go back to 2017. You know what? And I'll talk about this after the U.S.-Canada game, go on my rant about the U.S.-MNT. So there you go. 0-0. El Salvador and the U.S., 1 point for the United States. All right, let's go to round or match day number 2. And there you go. Tyler Adams is kind of soft. He's played soft in the last 2 games there, Isaiah. Totally has. Panama, 3-0 victory over Jamaica in Jamaica's national stadium. Talk about a surprise. Holy cow. This was impressive. I really really can't believe Panama did it like that. I mean, we talked with, I believe it was Dino Daly on the picks and predictions for match day number 2. And he said, oh, Panama's going to beat Jamaica. I'm like, I don't know about that, man. I've got Jamaica to win this. And Panama laying down the smackdown, no doubt about it. Andres Andrade in the 14th minute, Rolando Blackburn and Cecilio Waterman, 3 goals for Panama for the 3-0 smackdown of Jamaica. Mexico gets the 1-0 victory over Costa Rica. Orbelin Pineda from the penalty spot in the 45th plus 1 right before the end of the first half. And a good result for Mexico. They get the win on the road against Costa Rica, who's struggling a little bit. Not the same Costa Rica that they have been. That is very, very apparent since they drew Panama in the first game and now lose to Mexico at home. But Mexico with a good victory on their end. 6 points out of two matches for Mexico. So, yeah, maybe not the best. Maybe not the best results. They struggled against that weak Jamaica team. And then they kind of just scooted by Costa Rica with a penalty kick. But what matters is 6 points at the top of the table right now for Mexico. All right, now to the game last night. United States and Canada, 1-1 draw. Brennan Aaronson in the 55th minute. Kyle Aaron in the 62nd minute. And man, oh man. Jay says, the next game for the U.S. will be a nice test. The U.S. record playing away from home is terrible. And Isaiah says, I don't see the United States beating Honduras. And best we can do is a draw, and that's kind of unlikely at this point. I agree with you. I'm giving them the draw. I think that they can get the draw on the road, but I think it's going to be a really, really tough matchup, especially with all the injuries and the suspensions and all that kind of stuff as well. Ryan Anderson in the house. What's up, Ryan? How you doing, man? And there you go. New Wiseman says, I was at that game. Sargent sucks. Look, Sargent, he's not all cracked up. I mean, he's cracked up to be this awesome, amazing striker for the U.S. men's national team, and he's just not that good. I mean, he's a good striker. He plays well. He obviously is playing in the Premier League with Norwich. He's decent, but he's not good enough. The United States, with the amount of talent they have the rest of the field, they need somebody in that striker position that's really, really going to be a showstopper, be a game changer. And Sargent absolutely is not that. And there Ryan says, I called the Canada-USA draw for weeks. Yes, you did. Nice pick there, Ryan. And yeah, Sargent is a flop. Yeah, he's acting like it, but so is the rest of the team. And I want to talk about Canada for a minute before I get in on the United States men's national team. Canada, what a performance from these guys. Okay, this is a big result for Canada. This is a point they didn't expect to get. I really didn't think that Canada was going to be able to pull anything out of this match because I figured the U.S. was going to come strong and really do well. But they didn't. U.S. didn't play well. Canada took advantage of that and honestly should have won the game. Let's be serious. Some of the chances at the end of the game, Canada could have won this, and they're in a really good spot, albeit they got that draw against Honduras. That's not that good. You want to do better than that. At least I would want better than that from Canada at home against a team like Honduras, who they're going to be fighting, who they're going to be fighting at the end for that 3-4 spot, because I believe that's still what it's going to come down to. And Cameron Young on in the house. What's up, Cameron? Morning from beautiful England. Awesome. Good to see you, Cameron. Thanks for jumping on in the AM. Jay says they expected it and no one else did. Totally. Totally. Canada, they did expect it. They played hard. They played wonderful. And this is a great opportunity for them to really step up and get 3 points against El Salvador on Wednesday night. They should beat El Salvador, especially at home. That has to be a must win in Canada's book. And I believe they will get it done. And Jay, you better be cheering loud again and making sure that happens from BMO Field. A new Wiseman says, why didn't Greg sub in Pepe? I have no idea. It makes no sense to me why he would not bring in Ricardo Pepe. This man is on fire. His form is absolutely unreal. The man is scoring goals left and right. I don't get it. I mean, I just don't understand what Berhalter's doing. He waited way too long for these substitutions. It makes no sense. He subbed off Dest because of the injury, and he's out now for a while. He's done for this window because he went back to Barcelona. But again, he brings in these subs. You know, takes off PFOC for Conrad. It brings out Aaronson and puts in Josh Sargent. Put in Ricardo Pepe. Why are you putting in Sargent, who is clearly ineffective against El Salvador? It makes no sense. And there Isaiah says, tactical said the Sargent thing isn't working, yet right after he said he wanted Sargent subbed on. You know what? It's funny. I follow Tactical and 11 Yanks a little bit on Twitter. I don't really watch much of their content because I'm usually doing the games they're doing. But didn't this time because I was doing – I was doing I was doing the game live here, and then the other one I was doing the other night. I was doing the Mexico game. But like, what? I mean, pick one. You got to stay consistent with this stuff and not just change things at the last minute. And they seem to do that very often. New Wiseman says Dax McCarty was calling for Pepe to sub in. I think everybody was. Totally. And there should have subbed in Zimmerman. They needed more of a presence at the back. I mean, it's that lineup. I mean, you look at Miles Robinson and John Brooks. John Brooks is not he's not doing it. John Brooks is not being that veteran leadership that he needs to be. And that's something I put out on Twitter. This U.S. national team, they need to pick up some veteran presence. They really do. They've got a bunch of young kids who, again, the issue was clear in 2017. The issue was that this team of players expected to win. They expected to qualify for the World Cup. They figured that it was theirs, hands down. There was no issues. They were going to get there. And they weren't tough enough. They weren't savvy enough to play in CONCACAF in those crappy stadiums with the crazy fans throwing bags of urine and batteries and all that kind of stuff. That was the issue. And I see that exact same issue. They haven't learned from that. Now they've got a bunch of young kids who are playing at the biggest clubs in the world. And look, I remember that rant that Taylor Twellman had back in 2017. And Taylor Twellman, love him or you hate him. I like his comments. He's a straight shooter. Same thing with Lawless. You know, and they said, look, these guys, and I believe they both said it, these guys came up with the nicest training centers. They came up with, you know, the plan for these big clubs. Take it back to our days, man, when we were playing on dirt patches, you know, and crappy grass and all that kind of stuff, and we just wanted to get out there and bust some ass. We wanted to win. This team isn't like that, and it's not. These players need a little bit of grit. They need some toughness, and it's not coming. I mean, look at this. I mean, exactly what you said there, Jay. The comments from Brandon Aaronson was a joke. Absolutely. All I heard there was excuses. That's all I heard was a kid giving excuses for not getting the result that they thought they should have had. Well, they didn't take Canada seriously. You could tell they didn't. Canada's on a different level than they used to be. Canada 5 years ago, 7 years ago, they would have walked in and beat them up, no problem. Canada's on a different level now, and they're still just making excuses. That right there told me everything I needed to know about that team, about that locker room, and they better figure it out, and they better figure it out quickly. I think Berhalter can work as the coach. I'm not quite on Berhalter out yet. I'm not quite there. Give me the next window as well. Let's see what happens in Honduras. If they get run off the pitch, he's gone. Okay. If this is a 2-0, 3-0 game, I want him out too. But let's give him one more shot here and see how he does in Honduras. But let's see if they can bring up the toughness there. And Berhalter's losing the locker room. Pulisic already spoke out against him to the media. It's not good. It's not good. Bring back Josie, LOL. No, Jay, not Josie. Not Michael Bradley either, unless it's just for that veteran presence in the locker room and not seeing the pitch. Rocky does it all in the house, says my girlfriend loves Lexi Lalas. Man, I just like his straight upness. He gives it to you and he doesn't give a crap what you think. And I'm kind of the same way. So, you know, I like that. The U.S. look flat. They ain't stretching teams. Ball movement so slow. Yeah, they did look very slow, and there you go. Ryan says these younger U.S. guys are a bunch of tattooed millionaire prima donnas. There you go, pulling it out right there. Bring back Dax. We want Dax. Oh, Dax McCarty, man, he gives that fight for sure. Look, the United States, this is a huge game against Honduras. This is absolutely huge. I disagree. I'm just going to be real straight here looking at this one. United States national team sends Weston McKennie back to Juventus after protocol breach. Look, I understand that, you know, you got to do these COVID-19 things and all that kind of stuff. But to me, this is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. This could have been brushed to the side. This is not a big deal. it's, you know, the fact that they're sending home one of their better players, yes, it's immature. Yes, it's stupid. I'm not going to say it wasn't. What I'm saying is it's more important. If this was, okay, if he was out till 4 in the morning, you know, doing some crazy stuff, maybe then I would say, all right, you can't do stuff like that. But breaking a COVID protocol, if it was just coming off the bus without a mask on, if that was the case, the U.S. has got some bigger problems to worry about than their masks and that stuff. So I can't get behind that move from the United States. They need Weston McKennie right now, especially with Reyna being slightly injured, especially with, you know, Dest now back at Barcelona, some of the other issues that this team has. And then you bring in Jackson Ewell. What? Are you kidding me? Come on, wake up. Wake up, Berhalter. That was stupid. That was absolutely stupid. And there you go. Didn't Berhalter go for a three-hour jog in Nashville the night before in a crowd of people? Maybe he did. I don't know. The whole thing is stupid. And there you go. It was Nashville. He was probably at a bachelorette party. Honey, I believe it. I could see that. That's why my initial thought was maybe he was out partying too late or something like that. But I don't know. And there, Zachary Harden says, and Steffen out with COVID. Yep, Zach Steffen's out due to COVID. Put the C team back together. Let's go. Yeah, let's go win some games with that C team like they did at the Gold Cup, right? Dan W. says, Donovan and Twellman made it sound like it was a major breach. Okay, I didn't hear that part of it. So maybe there was more to it than that. And hopefully there was, because if it wasn't, that is really stupid to me for the United States men's national team to go down that route. So that's the recap of those games. Now it comes down to here's a look at the standings. Mexico with 6 points already. They're at the top of the table. Panama with 4. They're having a good window here, but I don't see it. I don't see it lasting for Panama. At least I don't see them qualifying. Canada with 2, Honduras with 2, United States and El Salvador with 2 apiece as well. Costa Rica with 1 and Jamaica with 0. Jamaica may be out of contention before they even get going. That might happen. Costa Rica, I don't see them doing much. El Salvador, I still believe, is the weakest team in the octagon, Ocho, whatever you want to call it. And there you go. McKennie was out clapping cheeks. At least that's what it seems like. Probably. Bello should have started. I agree. Put Bello out there. He's doing well. Nith's in the house as well. What's up, Nith? So there you go. I mean, Canada, they can take 3 points against El Salvador. It would be huge for putting them in a good spot after this first window, especially after that draw against Honduras. And you know what? United States, huge game against Honduras. They cannot lose this game. If they lose this game, it's going to be big trouble. If they draw on the road, that's a decent result. I'm okay with the draw on the road. However, they need at least a draw and probably a victory. They cannot come back with 2 points out of 3 games after the first window. That will not work. And there, Ryan said, Tappa Whitmore is clueless. Tappa out. Yeah, Whitmore looks like a mess. I can't believe he's still there. I figured after that loss there, the 3-0 loss, I figured he'd be gone immediately. But Joshua the American is in the house as well. Guy, look at all these people showing up here at the end of the show. We're 50 minutes in, and it's almost time to go. Again, guys, here is our look ahead. We've got the picks and predictions, match day 3 picks and predictions that are out already. Go check that out after this one if you haven't already. Alejandro Orozco as well just jumps on. Thanks for jumping on. Then tomorrow, going to have MLS picks and predictions for week 20 coming out tomorrow, probably around noon or so. Then on Wednesday, we'll be live for Canada against El Salvador, and then Honduras against the United States. Guys, make sure you are hanging out with me for those games. Huge, huge games ahead. And some of the other matchups that are ahead in match day 3 is Panama, Mexico. That should be a good game, especially that it's in Panama. Can Panama sprout another upset? I don't think so. But then Costa Rica and Jamaica, looks like that might be the last game for Coach Whitmore there after that one, because I don't see Jamaica getting the victory in this one. All right, so there you have it, guys. That does it for the show here, guys. Let me know if there's anything you guys want to talk about during those lives. We'll do it up, and can't wait to see you guys for those ones on Wednesday night. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Check out BetUS, the link in the description, as well as in the comments once this reposts. And we'll see you guys real soon for those games on Wednesday. Everybody have a great night. See you then.